Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Today we start a new series, and for the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about 40 days in the Word. You see, the Word is living and active. Scripture says that. The Word is true. The Word is infallible, no fault. It has no error. It doesn't contradict itself, though it, by our human minds and our human ears and our human eyes, we can see and say, well, that doesn't sound right because it said this in the Old Testament, then it says this in the New Testament. Well, it must not be true. But you see, if we believe that God is true and that His Word is life and that it's living and active, then we have to believe the whole thing. It's not just part of it. You have to accept the whole thing. If you don't accept all of it, then you, if you don't accept one part of it, then you don't accept any of it. You can't pick and choose. And though our minds, we can't comprehend, and Scripture says that too, we don't have the mind of God. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. Then we have to understand that we won't understand everything. And we have to be okay with that. So when we get into the Word, and we're talking about that over the next 7 weeks, being in the Word, not just reading it to read it, but reading it so it will change us. Knowing how to read it so it will change us. Then you can't help but to believe that God's words, His very breath that was written down and inspired through men and women, that it is true. And we can place our trust in that and the foundation of our life in that. So over these next 7 weeks, there's three goals here. One is that you will love, that you will learn, and that you will live. You need to make a commitment to those goals, that you will love through this, because it'll get hard, it'll test you a little bit. That you will learn through this. You will be open to the Holy Spirit teaching you. And then that, after that, that you will live it. That you will take it and you will apply it as we're learning and you will live it in your life. Whether it's uncomfortable or not, you will live it. You will make a commitment to live it out in your life. So the six messages after today, we're going to cover some very specific things. First, we're going to look at the inspiration of the Bible. Who doesn't like to be inspired? When I'm inspired, I want to get up and go do something. So I want your heart to be open and ask God to position you, to posture you, to be inspired. How can I trust the Bible? How do I know the Bible is true and that I can trust it in my life? I want to be inspired, God. This in week two, we're going to look at the foundation of the Bible. What is the purpose of the Bible? We're going to get to see the big picture of the Scriptures. What is the overarching theme? And what are the purposes of the Bible? The 66 books in one book, and it's a library of God's Word to us. Week three, we're going to look at the illumination of the Bible. This is how does God illuminate in my mind so that I can see what He wants me to see in His Word. Sometimes we read a scripture, and you've heard this before, you'll read a scripture over and over and over and over and over again, but sometimes the circumstances of life or the way that we posture our heart, or the way that we're prepared to receive the Word, it opens up new meaning. It's like, whoa, I never knew that before. I've read that scripture over and over again, but now it means something else. It's like you read it and bam, like Emeril Lagasse, you get it. Yeah? I've never seen that before. Then week number four, we're going back to interpretation. A very important week. This is how do I know what this verse means? I read it, and it looks like I know what it means, but then when I look at it in some different context, it opens up. And so we're going to learn how to do that. Because a lot of times you hear people say, well, that's just your interpretation. Because a lot of times people want it to mean what they want it to mean instead of what it actually means. Actually, there are correct ways to interpret the Bible, and there are incorrect ways to interpret the Bible. When you interpret correctly, you get what God says. When you interpret it incorrectly, you become a cult. And you get all kinds of weird and wacky ideas. The Bible means what it means, and you have to understand these principles of interpretation. And that helps us. That doesn't hinder us. That gets us in the path where we hear the true Word. Then finally, week six, we're going to Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I missed week five. Week five, we're going to look at integration of the Bible. That is, how do I put the Bible in my everyday life? How do I use the Bible at work? How do I use the Bible in my home? How do I integrate it into my family life? How do I integrate it into my finances? Every different area, my past, my present, and my future, how do I integrate the Word into my life? Because we could go along as Christians and say, yeah, I have the Word in my life, but is it being seen in our lives? Is it being seen in your finances? Is it being seen at your workplace? Is it being seen in your family? Or is it just seen when you come here and you sit within these four walls, or when you actually go out and serve someplace? Yeah, the Bible's there. The Word is in my life there. But how is it being lived out in my finances? What does your checkbook say? If God was to look at your checkbook, which He can see your checkbook, by the way, if anybody still use a checkbook? Anybody? A couple people. Yeah, not many of us. but if God were to look at your online banking account, what would He see? Would you see the Word of God reflected in that? Something to think about. Finally, week six, we're going to look at the application of the Bible. That is specifically how to use the Bible in specific ways. Like how to use the Bible to make good decisions. How to use the Bible to overcome temptation. How to use the Bible to counsel or give advice to a friend. Not your advice, but the Word in you that comes out of you to give to a friend. How to use the Bible to find comfort for yourself. So, because there's many times, and I know for even for myself, that I'll be dealing with something, and I said, Lord, I need your Word right now specifically. I study your Word, but I need a specific word. I need you to tell me something right now that's just for me of where I am. You say that you want an intimate relationship, and I believe that, Lord, so tell me something intimate that's just for me today. Nobody else, Lord. Just for me today, you want me to have this right now. You ever done that? But then we're going to complement these messages with some further study. And we call those life groups. And our life groups, and we've started some new life groups. And if you're not in one, or if you're not on a Wednesday night, we have some going on Wednesday night, we need you to be involved in that so you can have further discussion. It's one thing just to receive, but you have to bounce it off of somebody. You have to have some conversation about the Word. We're going to talk about over the weeks how important that is. But in our life groups right now, for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be talking about this study, 40 days in the Word. There's devotionals in the book for every day for you to be in the Word, to get that habit in your life and to further these conversations. And then come together and talk about it in a small group. That's how we grow. That's how we test what God has given us. Jesus ended the Sermon on the Mount with a story. You know this story. Two guys, they built houses for themselves. One built on the... See, we need to be 40 days in the Word because you don't know your Bible. He built on a firm foundation, the rock, right? He built on a solid ground. But then the other guy built on the... There you go. I knew you knew the story. Yeah. Now I just had to prompt you a little bit. So he built on the sand. And then, when a massive storm came up, the house that was built on the sand collapsed. It fell down. But the house that was built on the rock, it stood firm, didn't it? That's the Word in our lives. That's the Word in our lives. When we live our lives on the rock, on the foundation of God's Word, we won't be blown. Now, we will feel bad. We'll have discomfort. We'll have trials. We'll get discouraged some. We'll be sad some. We'll be happy. We have all the gamut of emotions that God's created us with, but we will not be wiped away. We will not be washed away because we stand on a foundation of the Word. But the Word can't be our foundation if it is not in us, if it is not who we are, and not just to read it, and not just to say, well, here's what I believe, but here's what I don't believe. I don't understand this. It's got to be in your life all the time to be your foundation so that you won't be wiped away. So how do I build my life on the Bible? God gave us five senses, right? Hear, see, smell, taste, and touch. Scripture tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our spirit. That's with our whole being, right? To love him with our whole being. Use it for his glory. Our whole being is everything that God gave us. Every part of us, God created for his glory. So we need to focus and learn how to focus it in his direction. Not just part of it, but all of it in his direction. Use it for his glory, for his fame. It makes sense that when we're learning, knowing, and applying God's very breath, his word, in these lives, we must learn to use all five to build the Bible into our life. And you see, that's what it takes. It's intentional. A building doesn't just happen because I think it should happen, because I dream it. I actually physically have to go and build it. I physically have to go and make plans and buy materials and hire laborers to come in and build it the way that God had planned. That's the way his word is. We can't just say, yes, I want God's word in my life and do nothing about it. You have to be intentional and active of putting yourself in a place to know God's word, to learn God's word, and then he will give you opportunity to live his word out. That's what he wants. So today we're going to spend a bit of time discovering how we can use all of our senses to get all that God has planned for us. Number one, I receive it with my ears. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. My faith comes from the message, and the message comes when I hear it. My ears have to be open, not closed. They have to be open. James 1:19-21 says this, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Go back and say, humbly accept. I receive. I hear it, and I accept it. Accept in this scripture in the Greek is a hospitality term. It's like, welcome. I am getting ready to bring the word in. You know, when you entertain somebody, you're getting your house clean, aren't you? When you're having somebody over your house, well, maybe you don't, but, you know, most of us do. We'll go and clean the bathroom that we want them to use and not the other one. We'll just leave the other one closed off. That's what we do at our house. We'll clean the one in the hallway, but don't go in the master bathroom. Woo! Not good some days. But anyway, we clean. We dust. Me and Charles spent yesterday, Charlotte's getting her fall stuff out, and we got these little lights that we hang up that brings ambiance in the room. So I'm always cool. It's always cool when we start doing that. She does it most of the time, but I helped her actually this time. And so we're moving furniture around, and after we move furniture, you know, you got to vacuum under the furniture, because I don't know how that got there. And so you're vacuuming it, and then I get the thing out and do the crevices, get all the cobwebs that have been there since the last time we moved the room around. And so we're getting it all clean. But we do that when we're inviting somebody in, right? We don't want them to see our dirt. So how are you getting your heart ready to accept the word? This is God's breath. This is God, the maker of all creation. He wants to come in and he wants to change us. He wants to bring his very breath into our heart. How are we accepting that? We need to welcome the word and say, come on in, I'm ready. Let's go, I'm ready to do this thing. Lord, I'm ready for you to change me with your word. You have to have an attitude of acceptance. Receiving the word is often compared to planting a seed in the garden. You can understand this better by reading the parable of the sower in Matthew 13, Mark 4, or Luke 8. You can read the whole excerpt right there. But what kind of soil is accepting the seed? In those scriptures, it tells us about all kinds of soil, rocky soil, a thorny soil, a soil that's hard ground, and a soil that's good soil. So where is your heart today to receive the word that the Lord wants to talk to you, the word that the men in 100 building are praying about right now? You can plant the same seed in different locations and get the same results. No. You can plant the seed in different locations and you will get different results. Why? Because some soils are prepared to receive it, and some soils aren't. Where's your heart today? What's the soil of your heart telling you? I've planted some tomato plants. My first time ever planting tomato plants this past year. I know Aaron over here, he plants all kinds of stuff, and maybe you have too, but this was my first time doing it. My son gave me a Home Depot card for Father's Day. I said, well, I wanted some tomato plants, so I'll just go and do that. So, and I got these boxes, these above ground planting boxes, because I don't think, I didn't want to get the soil ready in my backyard because I don't know what I'd have to do. But I knew what I could do for a planting box. So I got these planting boxes and I went and got the right soil, the right mixture, and mixed it all up. And I put the plants in there and I'd be watering them. And I got tomatoes. Yeah, that's good stuff. Tomatoes. Now, some of them didn't do so good, but I prepared the soil so that they would grow. But the way that I prepare the soil, I've never planted them before, so I went and looked it up, and I went and talked to people. It's like, what do I need to do for this? What do I need to do for that? What kind of, you know, I don't know all the terms and everything, but I had to look up numbers, and the soil needs to be at this pH balance and blah, blah, blah for it to do all this. And it's like, I could have just stuck them in the ground and said, okay, grow. But the soil wouldn't have been right for them. So I had to think about, I had to actually do a little research, a little study, and then do it. That's like the word in our lives. How are we preparing our hearts for the word to come in? And it's the same for you to hear God. Your heart has to be prepared. If you come to church, all right, I'm going to speak to some of you right now. And this was about last night. If you come to church, you stayed up late, or you got up late, and you rushed in, Well, we can find a parking spot here, but we got lots of them. But hopefully one day we'll have those full. And you're frustrated because you're running late. How is your heart prepared? Now, if you chose, I understand some of us work and we have hours at work and we still make it. But if you chose to stay up till 2 in the morning, how is your heart prepared? How is your body prepared to receive what God has for you if you're doing this? Oh, hey. You got it. You got in and you were just a little irritated. Maybe you had an argument with your family on the way here in the car, and then all of a sudden, okay, y'all put on your happy faces. We're going to church. How is that prepared? Because you may look like it on the outside, but your inside is not ready. It's not prepared. Okay, God, I'm ready for you to talk to me. And then all of a sudden, you don't hear God's voice. Well, I didn't hear God's voice today. Man, that service, it wasn't spirit-filled service today. You know, I don't know what was going on there, but what was your heart saying? How did you come into that? Have you prepared to receive the word that God is telling you today? In order for you to hear God now, you've got to have good reception in your heart. The Bible says that it's a matter of the heart attitude. And here's four attitudes I want to give you. Attitude of quiet. For good reception to hear God speak to me, I've got to be quiet. Some of us talk too much. And I'm not just talking about verbally. I'm talking about, you know, a lot of us here are we process a lot. We're very analytical. And so we think about everything, overthink it. Anybody in here an overthinker? Yeah. So sometimes you need to shut your mind off a little bit. Stop thinking about things. The scripture says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. Some say God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth so we could listen more than we talk, right? You ever heard that? Does that apply to anybody? You've got to be quiet. You can't hear God if you're talking. We got to have an attitude of calm. It says, and slow to become angry. Angry is not calm. Angry is the opposite of calm. We have to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Why in the world is he talking about anger when he's talking about the Bible? Because you don't hear much when you're angry, right? You only hear what you want to hear. You've shut things down. You've closed people out. We don't hear much when we're upset. We don't hear. We can't really hear what somebody else is saying when we're irritated, when we're angry, when we're uptight. When you are emotionally upset, you're defensive. But on the other hand, when you're emotionally relaxed, you're quiet and you're calm and you can really hear what the other person is saying. You ever be in a little debate with somebody, you're just not in a position to have a great conversation and say, hey, wait, let's just stop right now. When we're both calmed down, we'll be able to understand each other and hear each other. You ever done that before? You just recognize it's like, we're not going to get anywhere here. We're going to make it worse. So we need to take a pause. But the same thing is true as getting into the Bible. You've got to be quiet and you've got to be calm if you're going to let God speak to you in His Word. You can't be, God, I've got 5 minutes. Talk to me really quick. I've got to go. Tell me now what I need to know before I go. That's not a relationship. That's a, Lord, I need to hear from you. Give it to me now so I can go, so I don't have to spend time with you, so I don't have to talk to you, so I don't have to relate to you. But you see, that's what God's into more than giving you an answer. He's into a relationship. And out of that relationship, you get to know who He is. And when you get to know who God is, His character, His attribute, His ways, then you get Him. And you know how to answer. You know how to respond. You know how to act because you're in a relationship with the living God. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. In other words, He says, slow down. Be quiet. Stop. Just stop. Be quiet for a minute. Don't ask me anything yet right now. Just be with me. Just be with me. I'll give you everything that you need in the time that you need it. Just be with me right now. We need an attitude of being clean. In other words, I can't have any junk in my life, any sin piled up. If I expect for God to hear me, and you know what? That, we don't think about that a lot, and we've said it in here, is that sometimes sin in our lives, unrepented sin, keeps us from hearing what God has for us and hearing His voice. And so we need to look in and ask God to look in. Scripture says that. That's biblical. God, look at me and show me any ungodly way, any error of my ways, Lord, and then lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, God may have something for you to do. Not only, oh, yes, Lord, I forgot about that. Thank you. Forgive me for that, Lord. I'm so sorry. But then He has another part. He needs you to go and ask forgiveness from somebody else. And we forget that part because that's all a part. So if you have this barrier between you and God, that's one thing. But there might be a barrier between you and another man. Remember, Scripture says, if you come bring your offering and you have something against your brother, your brother has something against you, leave, go, and then come. Get reconciled to your brother and then come back and leave your offering. Because it's important to God. So we have to do that. That's what His Word says, walking in His Word. We need to get rid of filth, it says, and get rid of evil. The word filth is in the Greek is the same word. This is kind of gross. It's the same word for earwax. And I didn't know that until I did a little study here. But the same way, and what took me, you know how you have these things, these pictures, and then it takes you to something else you've seen? You remember? I remember in the first Shrek movie. You know where I'm going with this? Yeah. Where he needs, it's dark in his house, and he needs a candle. So he just goes like this, and he brings it out, and he's got a candle, and he lights it. I don't know. It just took me to that. It was kind of weird. But so there you go. Demented mind here. But that's what filth in our body is. It's likened to something that we don't want in there that we're getting rid of. So we got to get rid of this in order to hear God. We have to look inside and say, God, what's the error of my ways? Help me. Help me be clean right now. Lay it all before you. I know every day I have something to go before God that I need to repent of and turn away from. And ask God to show me the way and help me, give me the strength to walk in it. The point is, I can't hear God if I have junk in my ears. I'm mentally blocked, and you say, God never speaks to me. You've probably got earwax. Emotional, spiritual, mental, ethical earwax going on. You can't hear God because you got junk in your life. It plugs up the sound. He says, get rid of filth, get rid of evil, which is anything we know in our lives that is wrong. He says, get rid of that before you come to me. Before you can meet with me, you need to take out the emotional garbage. You need to take out the spiritual garbage. You need to get rid of that stuff that stinks up your life. You're not going to hear God if your mind is filled with pornography or resentment or jealousy or anger or any. Just fill in the blank what's going on right now. You're not going to hear God. So don't expect to. If these things are going on in your life, you have to take out the garbage spiritually. The Bible calls that confession. Confession simply means that you're agreeing with God. I believe your word, God, and I believe that I've been in the wrong. Your word is true, and I'm confessing that right now before you. And sometimes it says, confess to our brothers and sisters. That's for accountability. Because if we're left to our own, we're going to fall again. We're going to be needing confession again. But we confess to our brothers and sisters because when someone else knows, we're more apt to follow through with what God wants us to do. The attitude of humility. He says, humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Humbly. That means don't say, yeah, I know I've needed that, or, you know, I only need part of it. I'm good part of the way, so I need a little bit more. Humbly, that means, God, I am no good without you. None of me is good. The Bible says there is no good in us apart from God. No good. And I know that we have this thing, well, don't tell a kid that he's bad. It's just the things that he does. And that might be true, but you see, God said, looks at us and said, there is nothing good in you apart from me. Now, I look at my mom as a good woman. She's done good things in her life. She loved me. She cared for us. We were on welfare most of our lives, and she bent over backwards. And to me, by humanly standards, that's a good woman. But inside of me, inside of us, if we don't have the blood of Christ running in us, there's nothing good in us. Apart from God, there is nothing good. We can look and we can do good things and go through the actions, but God's looking on the inside. What's the attitude of your heart when you're doing that? Is it truly good, or are you looking for someone to look at you and give you that attaboy, attagirl? What are your intentions? It humbly means to be ready to do whatever God tells you from his word. If you come with a prideful attitude, God, you tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to do it or not. That isn't going to work. You got to be humble, because God will tell you that he wants you to do some things that aren't in your normal way of doing them. And he has a purpose. We don't see sometimes, but he has a purpose. These are spiritual hearing aids for the first way to get God's word into your life. I receive and I accept. I receive God's word through my ears. I hear it, and I hear it by being calm and quiet and clean and humble. Next is not only hearing God's word with my ears, I receive it with my eyes. I receive it with my ears, but I read it with my eyes. I read the Bible. You cannot grow without being in the Bible, without being in his word and knowing it. It's not osmosis. You can't lay it under your pillow at night and say, I'm going to get his word. It's going to come in that way. It doesn't work that way. You have to read it. James 1, 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You see the correlation? It's not just hearing it. I've got to read it. I've got to get it in, and then I've got to do it. It's all combined. It's all connected. It says the person who looks intently. What's he talking about here? He's talking about reading the Bible. When I read it, I don't speed read. When I read the Bible, I read it and reflect on it. I think about it. I ponder it. I look intently. It says that a person who does this is like looking in a mirror. The Bible compares itself to a mirror. What's the purpose of a mirror? The purpose of a mirror is to evaluate ourselves, isn't it? Why do you look in a mirror? Ooh, I look good. Or, ooh, whoa, what happened there overnight? You know? My son, we used to read my son that book called There's a Duck in My Closet. You ever read that book? This boy, he has these dreams, these animals in his closet. He wakes up and his hair is every which way. And because he's got a duck, he's got animals in his closet, and he blames it on the animals. But we look in the mirror and we see stuff that we don't like. And when we see stuff that we don't like, what do? We make it right, don't we? How many of you praise God for makeup? You know, we do. Or hair care products. Yeah, or we do. We do all of those things. Everyone here this morning, and I'm just gonna take this chance out there, looked in the mirror before you came to church, didn't you? You looked in the mirror when you got up this morning, and you changed the way you looked before you came here this morning. But there's two ways to look at a mirror.
You glance, quick look. Oh man, I gotta read my devotional today. It's quick. I'll take 5 minutes and read my devotional. But when we do that, we quickly forget. Oh man, okay, that's good. Oh, I forgot, man, I had that bump on my head. You know, it's, or we gaze intently. That's what Scripture says, intently. Look at the details. God wants to gaze on, not glance at, His Word. He wants us to glaze, not glance, in His Word. That's what small groups are about, too. It's taking the time to look at God's Word and know it. I research it with my hands and mouth. There's a difference between reading the Bible and Bible study. There's a difference. Reading the Bible is reading the Bible. Studying it is looking intently into it and breaking it down. In fact, there are two components of study: writing it down and talking about it with somebody else. Having a conversation about God's Word. John 5:39 says, "You search the Scriptures because you believe they give you eternal life, and the Scriptures point to me." Acts 17:11, "The people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message." Listen, they searched the Scriptures day after day to check up on Paul and Silas to see if they were really teaching the truth. How many of you go home after we, Pastor Aaron or myself or somebody, preaches the Word up here, and you go home and look at the Scriptures more intently? I would say most of us don't, right? But that's important. Not that I want you to distrust me, not that I believe that you don't believe what I'm saying or that I'm preaching some false doctrine or anything, but you need to know it for yourself. It's just like my sons. I've taught them, I've grown them up in a faith and truth and foundation, but I want my sons to believe it because they want to believe it, not because their parents believe it. And I want them to search the Scriptures. I want them to make the decisions that God has for them based on His Word. That's when I know it's good. They're going to be good. They know how to follow God. That's what it is. It's going home and look at the Scriptures. But these guys and the people in Berea, they were searching the Scriptures. They're reading, and not just reading. They're studying and they're writing it down. They're having a small group discussion. These people are listening to Paul preach, and then they're going over and having a small group discussion about it. You can do that this week, by the way. We still have room in our small groups for you to sign up. Rearrange your schedule. Be a part of a group. There'll be tables out there with people standing behind them that need group. Today, I'm having one right after this in the 100 building. Now, if you want to go get lunch and come back, I'll be in the 100 building leading a group through the 40 days in the Word. We need to review and remember it in our mind. James 1:25 says, "But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it," listen, "and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in all that they do." Not forgetting is memorizing. It's remembering it. You remember what's important to you, don't you? We do. And if we're in the God's Word, if it's that important, we'll remember what it says. We'll commit to memory some Scriptures that will help us along the way. Because I gather that you don't have your Bible with you all the time. Now, most of us can, because if you've got a Bible app on your phone, and I would gather that you take your phone wherever you go right now. So you can have the Bible, but the physical Word, and if you don't have reception, how are you going to remember? You got to memorize. You got to bring the Word into you. Listen, if you're serious about being spiritually strong and mature, you don't want to be a spiritual baby anymore, and some of us are. Some of us come here on Sundays, and we just take in what's here on Sunday without anything during the week. You're still a spiritual baby. You've got to grow, and God expects you to grow. He expects you to mature in His Word by hiding the Word in your heart, by putting it in your mind. Why? Because when you need the Bible, it's never around. When you're tempted, you don't have a Bible to open by your side. When you're witnessing, you're under stress and you need comfort. When you have a crisis, how many of you in a crisis can think just like that? Unless we've been in the Word all the time and we have it. And then God, by the Holy Spirit, helps us recall. Joshua 1 says this, "Keep the book of the law always on your lips, meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Listen, if you do this, meditate on God's Word, and be careful to do what it says, then this will happen. You will be prosperous and successful. Who doesn't want to be prosperous and successful? Raise your hand. if you don't want to be prosperous and if you don't want to be successful. Well, we all do, don't we? So meditate on God's word. Do what's written in it. And he says that this is the way, this will be the outcome of it. And then number five, I respond to it with my actions. That's always, there's always an action. There's always a verb attached to a lesson with God. It's not just information for information. He expects us to do something with it. He doesn't just write it because he wants to be heard. It's for our well-being. It's for our growth, and we have to walk in it and act on it. James 1:2, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do, capital D, capital O, what it says. It says don't deceive yourself. How do we deceive ourselves? We think we've heard something that we've got it. No, I could talk to you about how good it is to be a father, but if I don't do it, it doesn't help. If I just talk about it, I've got to actually walk in what it takes to be a good father. I could talk to you about how to build a balanced budget based on scriptural principles, but if you don't do it, then it's not worth anything. You don't really know it. You only believe the parts of the Bible you actually do, because that's why you're doing them. I only believe the part of the Bible I actually do. Be doers of the word. That means every part of the word. You hear message after message after message, but if you never take the message and build it into your life in the form of a verb, it can never do what God intended it for it to do, mature you. I want to go back and look. I'm about to close here. In Matthew 7, I want to read this, Matthew 7, 24 through 27 again. Everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall. Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. It didn't just lay down. It crashed. It crashed. When we hear the word crash, we think of something extreme. Something powerful, something damaging. This house didn't just shut its doors and dilapidate a little bit. It said it came down with a crash. And when we build our life on that, that's what happens, because we don't have the foundation. Church, we know this to be true. I have lived this, you have lived this. As a follower of Christ with his word in us, how much more are we able to handle the trial and the troubles of the world when we're on a solid foundation? Stress isn't as stressful. Perspective is eternal rather than temporary. Emotions are level rather than extreme. Decisions are calculated and intentional rather than irrational and random when we're on a foundation of the word. And that's what I want you to hear today as we go into these next six weeks of being in the word. Commit to that. Think about it today before you leave out of here. You go and look, see what group fits in your calendar. And if none of them do, then guess what you need to do? Change your calendar to be in a group. There's groups spread out all over the week. All over the week. Make it a priority to get not just what we hear of on Sunday, but get one of those books out of there. If you can't buy a book, if you can't afford a $10 book, we'll buy it for you. So that you can be in the Word with other people and commit to that. Commit to that. Not just hearing God's Word, but discussing it and putting it into your life. The Holy Spirit has something for you today. And you need to hear it. And not only hear it, you need to do it. And that's an encouragement and a warning. Amen.